Chapter 27. I didn't have much to do while we slowly took on fuel, so I had too much time to be stuck in my stupid head. Yeah, I was trying to think of a better way to find a single stealthed Krestang ship in the vast distances of a star system, but my mind kept getting dragged back to other things, like mostly Shauna. Specifically, Shauna and Cornpone. I should call him Jesse, I guess. Old habits are hard to break. It had been years since I last spoke with Jesse, or Dave, or Shauna. The last time we were at Paradise to plant the fake Elder artifacts that persuaded the Ruhar to keep that planet, I had asked Skippy to give me a view of people I had known there. No, I was not doing anything creepy. I just wanted to see and hear them when they were using the video feature of their Z-phones. It had been heartbreaking to see people I considered my friends, even Perkins, and hear their fears of being trapped on Paradise forever. Their fears that the population of Earth might be enslaved or extinct. So, that was my distracted and depressed mindset when I came around a corner of the passageway and I saw Count Freakin' Chocula standing in the open doorway of a cabin. It wasn't his cabin. His was forward on the opposite side of the bridge/CIC complex from my own cabin. This cabin was aft near the cargo bays our science team used as workspaces. What was Hans Chotek doing? He was leaning forward into the cabin, and a woman from the science team was leaning outward. And they were smooching. Smooch is a nice neutral term for whatever ballet their tongues were doing in each other's mouths. I stopped dead in my tracks. Chotek saw me, and instead of being shocked and embarrassed like I would have been, he merely nodded and touched Dr. Reinfall's cheek. She had a guilty look, but there was a twinkle in her eye. "Colonel Bishop," Chotek acknowledged me in a matter-of-fact manner, and right there I understood why he was not embarrassed by my presence. To him, I was like one of the servants in the house where he grew up. Hans Chotek had been raised to be accustomed to having maids, nannies, cooks, and maybe even butlers around, and to him they were almost invisible, like part of the furniture. I guess that is the aloof attitude you need to have if staff are living in your house. But it irritated me. Not knowing what else to do, I said, "Mr. Chotek," and resumed walking purposefully forward as if I had an important task and could not waste time on small talk. As I passed the still-open cabin door, I saw Dr. Reinfall was wearing a long shirt, and if she had anything on under the shirt, I couldn't see it. With my cheeks burning red, I took the first turn I came to and slapped the access panel to walk into a dimly lit cargo bay that was half empty. "Skippy." "Hey, Joe, what's up? If you plan to take inventory in there, don't bother. Major Sims and my bots did it yesterday." "No, I do not want to count socks, or..." I waved a hand angrily at the crates. "Whatever." "Why didn't you warn me about Count Smoochula?"
"Count Smoochula?" he laughed. "Oh, that's a good one. I get it. Because he was checking Dr. Reinfall's tonsils with his..."
I don't need to..."
"That wasn't all they have been doing. I didn't watch or listen because of that stupid privacy thing you told me about," he grumbled. "Man, what a pain in the ass your monkey culture can be sometimes. I'll tell you what, though. Those two have been getting up to some serious gymnastics in there. They bounced around enough that the ship had to make a minor course correction. I mean, sure, those two don't compare to the way Adams was..."
"Skippy, I do not need details. Don't want details. I need to not hear details, got it? That privacy thing, as you called it, is absolutely vital to crew morale aboard this ship. We've been stuck in this tin can together for way too long."
"You forget about the time on Gingerbread, Joe. People had plenty of opportunity for shore leave then."
"That's not the point, Skippy. You should have warned me what I would see when I came around that corner.
To be fair, Joe, I did not know Smoochula would open the door at that exact moment. I would have known if you allowed me to use a camera in people's cabins, but no, monkeys need privacy when they are mating.
Jeez, it's not like your species does anything worth watching."
"That is also not the point. Also, don't ever use the word mating again."
Okay, this was an accident. He opened the door at the wrong time."
"Crap. What were the odds I would be in that exact spot the one time Chocula visited Reinfall's cabin?
Do not give me any details. But how long have those two been, together?"
"Since about, shortly after Chotek returned to the ship after our black operation on Kobamek."
"OMG, they have been getting it on that long?
The whole time we were on Gingerbread, too? Yeah, sure. Except when Dr. Reinfall went aboard a dropship to inspect alien debris in the junkyard at the Roach Motel. Little Hansi Smoochula was a sad little boy while she was away. He wasn't able to smooch her, Skippy giggled. Damn, I can't believe this. Sorry, Joe, I thought you knew about them. Everybody else does. Before he was with Reinfall, he was with... Don't tell me. Do not tell me. Is there a problem? Chotek is the overall mission commander, but he is not military, and neither is Dr. Reinfall. Before her, Lieutenant... I said don't tell me. Crap. You're right, Chotek is a civilian. He was a civilian, and I was stuck with Army Regulation 600-20, paragraph 4-14. No, wait, that's the old one. The new one is... Oh, hell, it didn't matter. Damn, two women? Three, Joe. Well, four, if you count that one time... Ah! Four? Smoochula is a handsome and charming guy, Joe. He kinda has to be charming to do his job, you know. I guess women can't get enough of his delicious, chocolatey goodness. He is popular with the ladies. Well, four of them, anyway. A couple other ladies have flirted and dropped hints. Oh, this sucks. What? That bureaucrat is bouncing between beds like a freaking pinball, and I can't get one... Well, if it makes you feel any better, I think he and Dr. Reinfall are somewhat serious. They both speak German. I really do not want to know how wonderful his life is right now, okay? What's wrong? For a change, his voice did not have the usual snarky tone. You sound really down. This is not something I want to talk about with a beer can. There was a pause. When he spoke, he sounded hurt. Joe, you are my best friend. We should be able to talk about anything. Crap. I had hurt his little asshole feelings. I sat down with my back against a crate. You are my best friend too, Skippy. It's just... Look, Cornpone, Jesse... He was kind of my best friend. I even visited him and his folks on leave one time. I read the report about the Mavericks, including the part that Jesse wants to propose to her. Joe, that part was not specifically in the flight recorder data, mission logs, or Colonel Perkins's reports. I filled in from the source data. Yeah, I know. You did a good job there. I'm happy for him, I really am. It's not easy, you know. I liked Shauna. I really liked her. She's smart and brave and a good soldier. She did blow up an island, Joe, he chuckled. Yeah, see? She's perfect. We couldn't make it work because duty sent us in different directions. I wonder... That's stupid to think what if. It's not stupid, Joe. You have to acknowledge your feelings before you can deal with them in a constructive way, to move forward. Yeah, I know. What? Where did you pick up the psychobabble? I've been researching psychology, group dynamics, all that. Figured I should learn about that crap since I'm stuck with a bunch of filthy monkeys. Oh. Well, I appreciate the effort. It has been awesome, Joe. He gushed with enthusiasm. Knowing the psychology of monkeys allows me to maintain warm and close personal relationships without having to waste any of my precious time when some whiny loser wants to complain about how sad and lonely and homesick he is. He said that last in a mockingly whiny tone. Truly, it has been a blessing. Instead of replying, I closed my eyes and bonked my head against the crate behind me over and over. Joe, what's wrong? Huh. Oh, you've got to be kidding me. Is this because Smoochula is getting laid and you're not? Let me check what my interpersonal relationship guide recommends in this situation. That would be fantastic, Skippy. Super helpful. Put it in a PowerPoint slide, please. As we wrapped up the slow and dangerous yet ultimately successful refueling operation, Adams dragged me to another of her yoga, aerobics, martial arts classes in the gym. I swear she just makes shit up to hurt me. When the class was over, the spec ops men and women went over to treadmills or weight benches because to them, the hour in the class was just an easy warm-up. I was soaking with sweat, and one of my shoulders ached. Are you okay, sir? Adams asked with concern as I grimaced, moving my sore shoulder in a gentle arc. It's that same shoulder that's been bothering me. I made a dismissive wave with my other arm. It'll be fine. She cocked a head at me. You should get that looked at. I'll go to the medical bay with you. My left ankle feels like something popped when I landed that last time. She held that foot off the deck and rotated her ankle in circles. I'm used to aches and pains. Army medics think there isn't anything that can't be cured with a big glass of water and 800 milligrams of Motrin. She laughed. I thought that only applied to the Marine Corps. My shoulder really did hurt, but it was a dull ache rather than a sharp pain. As we walked out of the gym, I threw a towel over my shoulders. "And we're not as young as we used to be," I observed, something I never pictured myself saying. She patted my good shoulder. "It's not the years, it's the mileage. We've been through a lot together, sir." "Adams, sometimes I wish you wouldn't call me sir all the time." "I will when you take off those shiny silver eagles." She looked me in the eyes. "Sir." I sighed, knowing she was right. The passageway split, the medical bay to the left and my cabin straight ahead. "Let me stop by my cabin to get a fresh shirt if Mad Dr. Skippy is going to look at my shoulder." "Hey, Joe," Skippy interrupted. "You are, going to your cabin right now?" "Yep." I paused at the door to my cabin. "Then you need to look at my shoulder."
"Sure thing. No problem. Why don't you go straight to medical? No need to change your shirt, no siree. No need for you to go in that cabin right now."
Ah, shit. I knew what it meant when that beer can said heh-heh. "What the hell did you do?"
"Oh, nothing."
"Okay, not nothing. Nothing important. Damn it, this was supposed to be a surprise. Hey, Sergeant Adams, shouldn't you go to your own cabin first?"
"Not a chance of that now, beer can," Adams declared with a twinkle in her eyes. "Open this damn door right now."
"I wouldn't recommend that for your delicate sensibilities, Margaret," Skippy pleaded.
"Delicate? Now I have to know what this surprise is."
"And me too," I agreed.
"Open the door, Skippy."
"Okay, but don't say I didn't warn you," he sniffed with annoyance. "This was supposed to be a surprise just for you, Joe." The door slid open. Adams and I shrieked and jumped back. No, Adams shrieked. I made a manly sound like... Okay, I shrieked like a little girl, too. You would have done the same thing. Laying on my bed was a woman. A naked woman. No, it wasn't a woman, my slow brain realized in a flash, because I knew all of the few women aboard the ship. The person laying on my bunk, her chest thrust out and her legs spread, was not a woman. Although she was anatomically correct, which is all I will say about that subject.
"Hello, Joey," she said in a sultry voice. "Come in, we can have fun."
"Gah!" I shrieked, and Adams and I instinctively held on to each other. Then we pulled away, as we both knew what a painfully awkward moment that was. "You gave me a sex bot?"
"Yes, or no, if a sex bot is a bad thing. Kinda guessing what you want me to say, Joe."
"Well, it's not a good thing, damn it." "Oh, got it. No, that is not a sex bot. Of course not. She is a... what the hell should I call this? An intimate companion. Is that better?"
"Joey,"
the sex bot pouted with a painted fingernail in her mouth.
"Don't keep me waiting, you bad boy."
"And it talks?" "Well, that's not all she does, Joe. She is fully functional, if you know what I mean." "Fully? Oh, God. What else does she... it?" My brain locked up as the sex bot moved its hips in a circle and I couldn't look away. "Can you make it stop doing that?" The bot stopped moving suggestively, but then it stood up and walked into the open doorway, its hips and other things swaying with every step. "She can do all the other things women do in bed," Skippy explained. "You know, like pretending to be interested while you talk blah 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 endlessly about yourself, or like faking that you were a good lover. Although with you, sheesh, that's going to take an Oscar-worthy performance. You'll need to grade her on a curve until she learns. And speaking of learning, I programmed her with a wide variety of really weird stuff based on your browser history, so..." "Oh, this can't be happening. I hope I got that part right. I mean, with some of those search terms you used, I had no idea what you wanted. And maybe you can help me. What does tiny..." "You should not be snooping at my browser history." "You got that right. I feel like I needed a shower after reading." "Damn it, Skippy. I did not ask for a sex bot."
"You kinda did, Joe. All that moping around you did when you found out Count Smoochula and just about every other guy aboard the ship are getting serious tail, and then..."
I am moping for a real woman, you idiot. This thing is not real, Skippy. Oh, for crying out loud. Damn it, Joe, it's not like you can afford to be picky. Can't you close your eyes and pretend you're with someone else? That technique works great for the women unfortunate enough to be in bed with you, so you could... I am not closing my eyes with her. It. I am not touching that thing. Come on, Joe. You can't deny you have had a record-breaking dry spell. Dr. Skippy recommends you get some exercise, and I don't mean in the gym. Unless you want to do it in the gym, I guess I could... Skippy, you are a beer can, so you don't understand these things. I want a real woman. I want to have a relationship. Relationship? Skippy scoffed. Joe, right now your only relationship, he made a gagging sound, is with the shower in your cabin. I don't... Damn, Skippy said under his breath. Jeez, in some cultures you and that shower would be considered married by now. Skip, seriously, I am surprised that shower's father hasn't come after you with a shotgun for sullying his daughter's honor. Skip, dude, you've got blisters. I don't... And you are getting super cranky. You need to get laid soon, or I am afraid you will explode. How about Skippy? I looked to Adams for help, but she was leaning against the bulkhead, one hand over her eyes, tears of laughter rolling down her cheeks, her shoulders shaking. And damn it, she wasn't the only person who saw the naked sex bot stretched languidly in the doorframe and heard what Skippy said. They must have heard the commotion and came around the corner from the CIC. Half of them were laughing, hands over their faces, unable to look at me. The other half were staring in shock at the sex bot as it wiggled its hips slowly. Yeah, all right, people, move along, I ordered through gritted teeth. Nothing to see here. Skippy was playing a joke on me. Oh, it's no joke, Joe. Skippy's voice was again perky. Anastasia is fully functional, certainly more than you could... You named it? Her, Joe, I named her. Where are your manners? You don't want to hurt her feelings, do you? Anastasia was the name of that girl you lusted after in high school. Although, his voice dropped to a conspiratorial whisper. That pretty much applied to all the girls in your high school, so I could have picked any. Lieutenant Williams of our SEALs team looked like he had seen a ghost, or a demon.
Sir, Colonel Bishop, have you been keeping a...
He had trouble even saying it.
A blow-up doll in your cabin?
No, I... Oh, crap. Adams, please, kill me now. I don't... She still could barely speak. Don't have a sidearm with me, sir. Williams, I forced myself to look straight at him. I didn't ask for this thing. It was Skippy's idea. Just then, my day got even more super awesomely wonderful when Count Smoochula came around the corner to see what was going on. He took one look at what he assumed was a naked girl in the doorway to my cabin, blinked hard in surprise, then looked at the sex bot again, realizing that is what Anastasia had to be. I could see the gears in his head spinning.
Colonel, I presume you have an explanation for that, he gestured toward Anastasia.
Damn it, now I was thinking of that thing as a person. Skippy, please, put that thing back in my cabin.
You don't like her, Joe? I'm kind of hurt.
In the cabin now. Okay, okay, don't get your panties bunched up, he muttered as Anastasia backed into my cabin and the door slid closed. Darn it, I spent a lot of time and used up a lot of resources to build that bot, Joe. It would be a tremendous waste to throw her away. If you don't want to bang her, I'll need to repurpose her for something. I do not want to bang her.
Repurpose? Chotek did not like the sound of that.
To do what? I don't know yet. Skippy was peeved. She can't do any heavy maintenance work, and she isn't built for working in vacuum or in hard radiation environments. Maybe she can do easy tasks like changing filters and transporting stuff like laundry.
She would be touching my clothes?
Chotek's lips pulled back in disgust.
Colonel Bishop has not, how do I say this delicately, used that bot yet.
No, I protested.
Well, Joe hasn't been with her that you know of, Mr. Chotek.
Don't worry. The asshole beer can giggled. Those stains will wash right out. Probably. I hope. Damn, that stuff is sticky.
Chotek shot me a look with a raised eyebrow, and I seriously wanted to kill myself right there.
Sir, I what? I had no idea what to say. This was a complete surprise to me. I just found out about it.
Very well.
Count Chocula's shocked expression had been replaced by an amused smirk directed at me. I am sure you can handle this situation more discreetly in the future. Yes, I mumbled. And then it hit me that a naked sex bot was still in my cabin, and the people standing around were waiting to see what I would do. So I sure as hell could not go in my cabin. Adams, if anyone needs me, I'll be taking a long walk out an airlock. I turned and began walking toward the nose of the ship. I won't need a spacesuit.